14, Jesus is talking and he said that, I pray that they would be in me, that the way that I am in you, talking about the disciples and the believers and everything. And I believe that we can get into such a place of complete harmony and unity and alignment with God that literally we are no more here on this earth, but it is Him that's walking in our flesh. Amen? Amen. Can somebody, is that not a place to aspire to? I mean, He comes in John 17 and He said, I pray that they would be in me as I am in you. And then later on, as He's talking to the Pharisees and all that, and He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what on earth as in heaven looks like. Is a man so in the image of God, Jeremy Crane, when we look on you, we see all of these attributes of God. We see God clothed in your skin, walking this earth. And you say, brother, that's blasphemous. No, it's not. That spirit-filled man that's fully alive within the presence of God. And let's settle for nothing less than that. Let's strive for nothing less than that. Let me hit these announcements, and we're going to release our kids. Just a couple things. I'm going to just go ahead, and while we're at it, man, let's just hit it. Baby bottle boomerang. If you have not returned your bottles, please bring those back. I think we've got most all of them back, but we've been done real good, and I'm appreciate that and thankful for that. So if you do have some, fill them up with change and bring them back so Errol can get them down to the PRC. This Tuesday night, we're having fireworks on the farm. Everybody in the church is invited over to our house. We're going to start at 8 o'clock, and we'll have just some fellowship. And you know, if the kids want to bring their swimsuit, man, they can get in the pool and play in the pool and the play area and all that stuff that we have and everything. And we're gonna have desserts. I'm not gonna cook for everybody, so don't get too excited. I ain't cooking for everybody, but we're gonna have, you know, homemade ice cream and desserts and all of that stuff. So we'll enjoy that. And then when it gets dark, about 9:15, 9:20, somewhere in that ballpark. Then Brett and the guys will get going on the fireworks, and last year they put on a phenomenal show, so I'm pretty pumped about it. And I got a thing from Blue Ridge, and it said that their fireworks show was like ranked fourth best in the state of Georgia. And I'm like, well, shoot, on the farm it's going to be number five this year. We're going to be fifth best. So no pressure on Brett and Rhett. But anyway, just come out and let's enjoy a good evening. It's a beautiful setting for it, where we are sitting up on Ridge. We'll pull our trucks up there and sit on the tailgate, or bring your lounge chairs and all of that. And I can't promise no mosquitoes or cow poop, but you're on the farm, so deal with it. A lot of people pay people to go to their farm, so we're not going to charge you. Just come on out and let's have a good evening. The kids will have a blast, but like I say, if they want to bring their swimsuit and all that, that's great. So that's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. VBS is approaching rapidly. Okay, it is going to be here before we know it. And it's July the 23rd through the 27th. It's going to be 6 to 9. Tiffany will be ordering shirts on Monday. Is that still, that's the case? Tiffany's ordering shirts on Monday for all the volunteers. Please make sure that you sign up and list the shirt size you need. And there is also a decorate and sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer. We'll begin decorating on July 17th, and everybody knows we always go all out on VBS. So if you haven't been, we go all out on VBS, a lot of decorating the week before. So just jump in and help out wherever you can. Sign up, and if you're not volunteering, then get on the list and volunteer in some capacity, okay? You say, man, I can't be here all week. If you can be here two nights, sign up and say, I can be here these two nights. And we'll plug you in somewhere. So that's coming up very, very quickly. Tiffany, you got something you want to add to that?
Elaborate a little bit. I'm going to order shirts this week. So if you can come any night and you want a shirt, get on the list. And we'll do things a little different this year because the life groups are a little different right now. So instead of coming with your life group, we're not going to do that. There's a sheet. You'll just need to sign up for the night that you can come. Would like to get at least four or five families, just so that we can actually get some stuff done. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we'll let the youth help us, and then Thursday night, I'll need four or five more families. So there's really just three nights to sign up. There's enough of us. We should have four or five families for three nights. The time frame is like 5 to 8. Drop in. We'll be here. You don't have to be here from 5 to 8. Just come in, help a little bit, and you know, feel free to leave. So I just wanted to let you know it will be done a little differently, and it'll be up to you to just go sign up. And there is a sheet, So while you're signing up for that, sign up with your shirt size and grab some of those little cards. We still have a lot left. Get the cards and pass them out to your friends, your neighbors, and make sure that you're inviting them now so that they'll be here at the end of the month.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Tiff. And also, last but not least, we're going to have a family movie night July 16th. I'm not sure what night that's on. Is that a Sunday night? So that's Sunday night. July 16th, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Kids can wear their pajamas and bring sleeping bags to enjoy the movie Sing. Really, really cool movie. I love it. I've seen it like 16 times. But if you got grandkids, you see all of these movies multiple times. But it's going to be a real good evening and just laid back. We're going to have popcorn and drinks will be provided. So we'll come in and we were going to do it on the outside. But with the summertime, it is so doggone late before it gets dark. And so we're like, we'll just do it inside the church and all that, and we'll clear chairs out and everything where it's a real cozy setting and all of that stuff. So that's going to be July 16th at 7 o'clock. If you're in town, come for that. Bring some kids with you. We don't mind visitors coming, so bring some kids with you and all that. And that'll be good prep for VBS. We can plug VBS out of that. So remember that, July 16th. All right, any other announcements? We good? Have I got anything? All right, awesome. Well, let's go ahead and release our kids up to Children's Church. Just want to bless them as they go. Amen. Bless the ministers as they go up. All right. We got Lindsay and Randy teaching this morning. Awesome. Bless them, Lord. Amen. How's everybody doing today? Y'all good? Good to see y'all on a holiday weekend. You know, on a weekend like this, the 4th, typically everybody is town's emptied out and people are gone and at the lake and beach and whatnot. But I'm glad you guys are here. We're glad to be here. And I'm really, really excited about the word that the Lord gave me for this morning. Y'all go ahead and turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to get over to Acts 16 hopefully on this. I'm going to do a bit of teaching this morning, so it'll be a little bit different flavor for that. We're going to be Joshua 1. Let me get over there. I was listening to Bill Johnson this week preaching on prayer, and the title of his sermon was Walk and Pray. And as I was listening to him preach, the Lord really began to speak to me out of concerning some scripture that he referenced as he was doing his teaching on prayer and the power of prayer and all of that. And the Lord carried me to Joshua chapter 1 and began to just really develop something that Bill referenced. And so I appreciate the promptings that I get from these guys. I want to encourage you as you come in and as you listen to these great women and men of God teach and preach and expound on the Word and everything. What God will do in that is God will speak one word or one nugget or something like that, and then that will take off on a vein. And God will carry you down into a rabbit hole if you'll allow Him to, and He'll blow your mind and rock your world out with some stuff. So I really want to encourage you to, man, we come in and there's nothing wrong with entertainment. I'm okay with entertainment and all that stuff. But we come in and we'll listen to so much secular music, and we'll listen to all these comedians and all of this stuff. And I get it. It is what it is. But we do that at the expense of growing and developing our spirit man. And so I really want to just encourage you to get a healthy diet. If all we do is eat, I like Little Debbie's, but if all we do is eat Little Debbie's, it's a very poor diet for us. And so I really want to challenge you and encourage you. Listen to the podcast from this house. We've got some men and women that just bring a really, really good word in here. And man, get in and just let that be a part of your lifestyle that I listen to. I can plug you into some people that just will just be tremendous for you, man. I mean, there's Havila Cunnington from Bethel, and Lisa Bevere is tremendous, and Bill Johnson and Damon Thompson and all of these folks, man. Stephen Furtick up in North Carolina. They're just some really, really powerful men and women that are releasing good word right now. So let that be part of your diet, okay? So much of what I get is I'll be listening to these guys, and then God will prompt something, and then that drives me into the Word, and then I spend time in the Word, Nick, and God just carries me into a place that it was birthed out of maybe one phrase that I heard them mention, and God said, okay, now let's take this and run with it. And so I really want to challenge you guys. It will, if you get stagnant, typically, usually, it's your fault. Just being honest. We were talking about the fire and us being fuel for the fire. If you're in a stagnant, dead place in your spiritual life, it's more than likely the answer's in the mirror. It's not on God. And one thing I found, people say, well, God's just silent in my life and all of that stuff. And right now, you've got the Holy Spirit actively working on the inside of you. He shouldn't be silent in your life, okay? You may not be getting the answer you want for one particular question, but God's going to stir and move and speak. All right, with that being said, let's just dive into Joshua 1. I want to tell you what the Lord just spoke to me and has been stirring in me and all that stuff. The title, I really struggle what kind of title to put on this, but I put walking through for a possession. Walking through for a possession. The Word, and it talks about Jesus in several places, and it said that all things are under His feet. And in the Psalms, it talks about all things are under His feet, but it also says that all things are under our feet as believers, as the second born in Christ and coming through behind Him and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that all things are under our feet as well. But the thing that God stirred in me and what I see in this, and I'm going to reference Jesus and then spend some time with Apostle Paul and all of that stuff, is so often we do not possess or have authority over the things that are under our feet because we never walk through the places to get them under our feet. You've got to walk through stuff to get it under your feet. In this text, the children of Israel are about to go into the Promised Land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after the death of an entire generation, the death of Moses. Joshua is being raised up as as the leader of this nation. And he comes in, and the Lord comes in, and He speaks to Joshua. He commissions Joshua, and He reaffirms something that He told him 40 years ago. And you say, well, I don't see where He told him this 40 years ago. He told Caleb this 40 years ago, and Joshua stood with Caleb. And so this is something that God has been confirming to them. It took a 40-year detour. Sometimes because of our disobedience, because of our lack of faith, we take detours. How many of you ever got lost and you went the long way in getting somewhere? All of us. Amen. Especially as men, because we don't do directions too good. You know, we're like, oh, I'll get this figured out. You know, I'm not really directionally challenged, but sometimes I'm hard-headed on streets and all. And I'll be like, well, if I keep going south, I'm going to hit I-20. You know, if I'm hung up somewhere in the north side of Atlanta. Or if I keep going west, I'm going to hit 75 or 85 or something. And if I can catch that main artery, I can find my way home. Well, I may wander around neighborhoods for 30 minutes, Joseph. Now, thank goodness we got phones and we can punch in addresses and get there. Well, I tell Lori, I said, just type in home and it'll tell me where to go. We need a spiritual app for that, right? Just type in home, and it'll give me the direction. Well, we've got one. We've got one. Part of the prayer for my life right now is, God, let me fall in love with the Word again. Because at different times and different seasons in my life, I get too busy for the Word. Or maybe I get lukewarm for the Word. There's not really much in here that I hadn't read before. But because of that, Jeremy, it becomes kind of common. And I'll toss it aside for, respectfully, but I'll toss it aside for the next new thing or convenient thing or easy thing and all that stuff. This is our app for how to get home the best way. And so God comes into Joshua, and He begins to commission and speak to him. And let's just read this in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now look at this. What did he say? Unto the land which I do give to them. He said, there's a land over here that I've given to them. Then he says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. So you've got this big broad picture that I've got this land and it's yours. But then he comes in and he says, everything, and we take it as a promise, he said, everything that the sole of your foot touches, that's what you're going to inherit. So we've got this thing that he says, this is yours, but you only get what your foot touches. And I believe that we come in, And we want to inherit because he said everything is yours, but we're not willing to put our boots on the ground and walk through some stuff. And until we walk through stuff, we do not have dominion and authority over it. And if you think about this land, it wasn't all glorious. Okay? Part of it was amazing. It was called the Promised Land for a reason, a land that flows with milk and honey. But he also said that there are thorns, there is bramble, there are wild beasts, there are mountains, there are giants, there are adversaries in every part of this land. So everything in this land wasn't like you're walking out in the wheat fields of Kansas. Or Central Valley, California, out in the strawberry fields where you're like, whoa, this is glorious and all of that. Let's just start picking fruit. They came into a place, and it was a place full of potential. It was a place full of promise, but they had to fight their way through it. They had to come in, and they had to deal with adversaries. They had to come in, and they had to subdue giants. They had to come in. I love one section right here. There's one of the tribes, and I want to say it was maybe the half-tribe of Manasseh. And they come in, and they said, Joshua, this land that you gave us for our inheritance, that ain't big enough for us because we're a big tribe and we're awesome and all of this stuff, and we need more land and all that. And Joshua said, okay, big boy, if you want more land, here's what you do. You go out there, and you climb that mountain, and you cut those trees, and you kill those giants, and your inheritance will be enlarged. But unless you're willing to put your feet on the ground and walk through some stuff, be satisfied with the smallness of where you are. I love that. And this land, as amazing as the potential was and as awesome as it was, and some of it were fertile plains and great for cattle and all of this, but so much of it was undeveloped. God told them, he said, I'm not going to give it all to you at once, because if I do, the wild beast will devour you. He said, you're going to have to take a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and as you walk through and as you develop this, then you know what's going to happen? Then it'll turn into something that's prosperous for you. But if you do it all at once, it's just going to grow up. I remember when I was a kid, we used to, we always had on our farm, we always had new grounds, what we call new grounds. You know what a new ground was? A new ground was where we'd get out there with a chainsaw and we would cut firewood out of a 1 acre, 2 acre section, and we would cut all the trees and we would burn the firewood and all of that stuff, and it would sit there for a year or 2 years later while these stumps started rotting. And sometimes we would do things to help promote the rotting of the stumps and all of that, but we would start sowing ground around, or grass around, and it wasn't good to cut hay yet because it was still a new ground area. You got some of that right now on your place, Jeremy. I drive by and I see it where you and Mike and the boys have been out there working. It's what I call new ground. It's not pasture ready, but there's grass growing on it. But it is in a developmental stage that will one day become plentiful, bountiful pasture. But the only way it becomes plentiful, bountiful pasture is by us walking through this and walking this process out. And it's bit by bit, line upon line, and precept upon precept. And we have to get to the place where we're willing to come in and we're willing to go through some stuff to get somewhere. We're willing to go through some stuff to inherit some stuff. Willing to go through some stuff to possess some stuff. The last 6 years of our life, me and Lori have walked through some pretty difficult stuff. I mean, we have. We have walked through some pretty difficult situations and circumstances in our life in the last 6 years. But there is no way that I could have authority over any of those situations if I did not walk through that. I'm a better man today because of the stuff I've walked through the last 6 years. She is a better woman today because of the stuff she's walked through the last 6 years. We are better as a couple because of the stuff we walked through the last 6 years. And until you go through some stuff, you'll never have authority over that stuff. I almost liken us to a generation that we want to come in, and I don't know the names of all of these things, but we want to go through life, and we want to play the Call to Arms, or what are some of those little Xbox games, you know, Tour Duties or some of that stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, I know y'all. It's advertised on TV all the time. Call of Duty. Thank you, Cindy. Do you play that? No, you don't. Zach does. I can see Zach killing a bunch of folks like that. But we'll sit, and we will hypothetically do stuff, and we'll talk about what the people in the Bible did, and we'll study it from afar, and we'll say we're masters of this thing called life, yet we refuse to get boots on the ground and walk through anything. It's one thing for me to come in and play Call of Duty and kill all the bad guys out there. It's another thing when I'm in Afghanistan and there are real bullets flying back at me. Amen? It's one thing for me to play a game and say I was on the first, you know, group that landed at D-Day at Omaha Beach. Mm-hmm. You did on that Call of Duty game. But you talked to somebody that was there. And they walked through it and they survived it. And not only did they survive it, but they came out victorious on the other end. And they walk in a place of dominion and authority and strength and wealth that somebody that can only do it from afar cannot walk through, cannot exhibit. And I'm talking about stuff being under our feet and the things that we possess, the things that we own. And it's not just good stuff. Let me read something right here. It says, some of the land was abundant and some was filled with wild beasts. Some with giants, mountains, and all filled with adversaries. It had to be subdued. It could be only subdued, or it could only be subdued as they walked through it. I want you to think about a couple chapters over when they're getting ready to cross over the promised land. Y'all remember what God told them to do before they crossed over? He said, as the priests come in and put their soles of their feet, touch the Jordan River, that's when the Jordan River is going to be pushed back. Until they put the soles of their foot on it, until they begin to walk through it, it would not be under their authority. But once they put their feet on it, and once they begin to walk through it, in that scripture, I love it, it said, Linda, it said, they stood firm in the middle. Stood firm in the middle. And they said, I will not be moved. And as they stood firm in that, then what was under their authority? The River Jordan. And so what did it do? It stood up on end. It was at the word of the Lord, but it was at the action of the priest. That's why Jesus walked in the authority he did, because he walked through some stuff. So he had things that submitted themselves to him. And we come in, and we want to stand on the bank, and we say, water be moved and come under my authority and all that. And God said, put your feet in it and walk through it, and then you'll have authority over it. As you go through stuff, you've got authority on stuff. If you go through stuff, stuff is under your feet. When you go through the stuff that you've gone through recently, Doyle, when you go through the stuff that you've gone through recently, and you walk through it in faith, you walk through it in confidence, you walk through it in trust in God, you walk through it with a good heart and a good mindset to the Lord as a good beloved, I'm not going to say servant, as a good beloved and all that stuff, then all of a sudden, you've got authority over sickness. And when I say you've got authority over sickness, I'm not saying that you come in and you say, okay, I'm not sure what exactly, 65% heart function, is that what we're supposed to operate at? Something that's not, it's not 100%, like 65%. You know, you're not going to come in. I'm not saying that's going to make, I'm saying you're going to walk through this thing and all of a sudden, you're saying no matter what may come in this thing, I'm not sitting here freaking out about everything. I'm walking through it in a calm. I'm walking through it in a faith. The times that I've been to see you in the hospital before they got your heart back in rhythm and all that stuff, we were talking, we were laughing, we were cutting up. You wasn't freaking out and saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to die next week and all of that stuff. You had a place of calm assurance that I'm His. And as you walk through that, death, where is thy sting? Grave is, where is thy victory? It was absent of that. It was absent. Come what may, I'm His. And so as you walk through that, death doesn't have victory over you. The looming death doesn't have victory over you. We all going to die one day. Okay? I've seen saints go on to be with the Lord. I've been in the room with some as they've been going on to the Lord and all that stuff. And there was an absence of fear and torment and freaking out and all of that stuff. What was under their feet? Death was under their feet. They were crossing over to be with the Lord. And I'm not talking doom and gloom. I hope you're around Him 30 years. I hope I can say, man, I got notes in there where I preached in 2017. And Kenny, you were what, in the 10th grade or something, you know. You see what I'm saying? But as we go through this stuff, as we go through adversity, as we go through hard stuff, as we go through and we say, you know, the 10 people as they went into the 10 spies as they went into the promised land, they're freaking out about giants. And Caleb and Joshua sitting there saying, man, let me have them. When Caleb came in later on, and I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but when Caleb came in there later on, you know what he did, Joshua? He said, Joshua, you remember what the Lord promised me? He said, the Lord promised me that everything that the sole of my foot touched, that's my inheritance, that's mine. See, the Lord promised him that 40 years earlier. And he said, I choose that. And it was mountainous, and it was full of giants, but he said, that's my inheritance. Because I walked through it, and I said yes to it, and it is under my feet and under my authority. He wasn't sitting here saying, man, these big giants, and I can't handle these giants and all that. He said, dude, we're taking this land. You know what he told his tribesmen and his people and all that stuff? He says, hey, guys, that one giant over there, the first dude that kills him, you can have my daughter to be your wife. And he walks in, he said, not only am I going to do this, but my people are going to do this. Because we understand that God made a promise to us, and he said, all things will be on our feet. All we got to do is just walk through it. I promise you, Isaac, you're 16. I'm about to be 16. I promise you, dude, you're going to walk through some stuff that's going to seem hellish that you have to go through. I'm not speaking anything negative. I'm just speaking life. You know, we're still on the heels of that in ministering with Jacob and Stephanie. Not two, but ministering with Jacob and Stephanie. And in that, I said, I have seen the worst that life has to offer, but also seen the best that life has to offer. And when you go through stuff, and not only you go through stuff and endure stuff, but you go through stuff with faith, you go through stuff with trust, you go through with absolute resolve, and you walk through this, you know what? All of a sudden, it's got dominion over under you. You got dominion over it. And you can say, dude, I went through that. I don't know anything else you can walk through. So if I walk through this, the thing that freaked me out last week, the thing that freaked me out last month, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Stuff that used to bother me 20 years ago, I look at it now and I'm like, psst. That's an ant. Used to be upset about, you know. After all that happened recently, I told Lori the next day, I said, but nobody better call me up today and be whining about their handlebar being 2 days late. Because all of a sudden the perspective changes. All of a sudden the significance of stuff changes. And it's the thing is if we put our feet and walk through stuff, then all of a sudden we have dominion and we have authority over this stuff. Let me go a couple places here. Some of the tribes did not receive all of the land that was promised to them. You know why? Because they failed to walk through it. Because they looked at it and they said, there are giants up there. And it's too hard. And so you know what they did? They cohabited with the inhabitants instead of going and killing them all and wiping them out. They said, it's easier for us to cohabit. So who had authority and who had dominion? They didn't. The giants stayed where they wanted to. The people that were living there in the mountains, they stayed where they wanted to. They pushed them back some, but they drew a line of sand. They said, this is where we're staying. And they said, okay, we'll just cohabit. And so who had authority over who? They said, this is as far as I'm moving. So the children of Israel didn't have authority. Came back to bite them in the rear end later on. But that's the reason, because they refused to walk through stuff. I want us to be such a people that we walk through stuff, Brett, no matter what it is that we come into. I'm not saying we look for bad stuff, but bad stuff's going to happen in this life. And I want to be able that I can walk through this hard stuff, I can walk through this hard place, and say, if I can do that, then I can do anything. If I can make it through that, I can make it through anything. And some of the tribes did not inherit what God said, this is your inheritance, because they refused to walk through this stuff. Let me make a couple good references. This is going to get good in Acts, just a second. I want us to think about Jesus for just a second. The Word said that all things were under the feet of Jesus. That all things were under His dominion and all of that. But yet there were things He had to walk through. He still had to walk through the garden, right? He still had to walk through the cross. He still had to walk through those things. Jesus could not circumvent that and have authority over that. He could not say, "What grave, where's the victory? Death, where's your sting?" He could not declare those things unless he walked through the garden, unless he walked through the cross. But because he did that, then the enemy was defeated. And so who had dominion, who had authority? If Jesus had failed on the cross, all of us would have been without hope. But he walked through it. And as he walked through it, Every place that the sole of your foot touches, I'll give you for an inheritance. Even these bad places. Your back getting broke in that four-wheeler accident was not something that you'd say, oh, yeah, man, I want to do that again or anything like that. You still deal with pain. You've still got rods in your back. I'm still going to continue praying for healing, just like I pray for healing for my wife on her back and everything. But with you walking through that, you have levels of authority and dominion over stuff that you would not have if you had not walked through this process for 15 years now. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time. Been a while. But I think that you would have to agree, because I've walked through this and overcome this, that depression does not have the upper hand on me. All right? Despair does not have the upper hand on me. Being addicted to painkillers does not have the upper hand on me. Because I walked through this and I said, you know what? You're under my feet. And I'm going to keep walking through this. So when depression tries to raise its head up against you, you can like, dude, I walked through that. This ain't nothing. I didn't need to take Percocet all the time then. I know you took some, you know, or whatever they gave you. I'm not saying you're dope or anything like that, Jeremy, but it did not get you into an addicted state to where your life was a downward spiral. I didn't have you showing up here on Wednesday nights for Bible study with guys that are going through rehab. And you said, man, if I can go through that, if I can go through a broke back and rods in this and still hold on to faith and hope and trust and the faithfulness of God and who I am as a man of God, and still say yes to abundant life and abundant living and an active lifestyle and all of that, then the next low stub, you're like, really? Really? Right now, Zealand's got this thing going on. He don't like blood. I mean, I think he could have a bruise the size of my head on him and he'd be fine. But if he's got any blood, if he gets hurt, the first thing that he asks me, is it bleeding? He doesn't say, man, this hurts like crazy. He says, is it bleeding? If it's not bleeding, we're golden. If it's bleeding, it's like, oh my gosh. It could be a very minuscule thing. But if there's blood, it's bad. But he will get to the point to where he'll look at it and he'll be like, because like I'll get a boo-boo now and I'll be bleeding, you know, working on the fence or something like that. And the grandkids are like, Poppy, you bleeding. You know, and they'll be running all down the road. I'm like, that ain't nothing. Because I've walked through that before. And Zealand will get to a place to where when he gets cut, he'll look at it and be like, nah, we're good. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, the fear of that gets under his feet, and he's got dominion and authority over that. When Christ walked through those things, he had dominion and authority. And unless we are willing to walk through the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the otherwise, we'll never have authority over these things or dominion over these things. But once we start walking through this, then we can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We'll start throwing these things out and believe them. It'll be the fiber of our DNA. Turn real quickly to Acts 16. Let's go to Acts 16. I'm going to finish up with this. I won't be long today. Acts 16. Flip on over there. Backing up a few chapters. When the Apostle Paul was converted. You know what the Lord told Ananias? Y'all remember God struck him down on the road to Damascus? The Saul, later become the Apostle Paul. Lord struck him down, had this radical encounter with Jesus, but it blinded him. And then they led him into Damascus. And the Lord came to Ananias and said, I want you to go lay hands and pray for him. And he said, Lord, I've heard about this guy, and he's killed people. He's put people in prison. He came here to get people and put them into prison. And the Lord said, it's all right. He's a servant of mine now. He said, you know what the Lord's words were concerning the Apostle Paul? He said, I've got to show him what he must suffer for my name's sake. I got to show him what he must suffer for my name's sake. He said, because I've got an expected end in him. And you know what that expected end in him is? Rome. And he's going to go through a difficult journey to get to Rome, but ultimately he's going to be in Rome and he's going to preach the gospel. And it's going to be declared in the capital of the known world at this time. And I'm going to use him in a mighty way. But along the way, he's got to go through some stuff and walk through some stuff so he can make the end of the journey. In a football game, you know what this is? Fourth quarter. All the players, Nick, y'all do this. Everybody does it now. At the end of the third quarter, all y'all's guys, they'll hold up number four. You know what that means? They say that means the fourth quarter's ours. And you know why they say the fourth quarter's ours? Because we've been there before. And we know we've got the strength. We know we've got the stamina. We know we've got the desire. We know we've got the will. We know we've got the coaching. We know we've got the ability to own the fourth quarter because we've been there before. Because we did it in the summertime. We did it when we're doing two-a-days. I don't know if y'all still do two-a-days. We did it when we were doing the two-a-days. We did it when we were going through all this stuff. I remember sucking it up in the last 30 seconds of the game to stop a drive or to score a touchdown or kick a field goal and all of that stuff. And by doing it before, you know, you say, you know what? I can do it this time because I've done it before. I've been there. I've done that. And not only did I survive, but I overcame. And until we get to the place where we can really do this as children of God, I promise you, you will not look back in your Bible and you'll see notes from 1989 from a sermon you preached. You know what the average life expectancy of a Christian is? I've heard some statistics say 3 years. And you know why people only last 3 years? Because they're not willing to walk through stuff. They're not willing to put their soul or their foot on stuff. And when you're willing to put the soul of your... When you got in the rental business, Randy, you didn't get into it thinking this is a quick turn. You weren't house flipping. You're sitting here saying that I'm going to come in and I'm going to buy some rental property and I'm going to make payments on rental property for 15 years. But when that 15 years is up, you know what? It's paid for. And then I'm sitting on a rental property of X amount of value, and either I can sell it for, we'll say, $100,000. Either I can sell it for $100,000, or I can sit here and I can reap straight in income off of it. And that's your goal. And that's everybody's goal. If you're not flipping, that's your goal. You're sitting there saying, this is going to be paid off in 15 years. And then, you know what? It is under my feet. Then I'm going to walk through this thing and I'm going to walk this thing out. But at some point, it's going to be under my feet, and I'm going to say, I own this baby. And I'm not talking from a physical standpoint. In this text with the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry, I'm excited about this. This is good stuff. I know it's 4th of July and we're supposed to punt till everybody gets back next Sunday, but I refuse to do so. This is too good. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. No, let me back up. Come on, let me back up. Y'all got a minute? Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. This was the first convert in Europe, guys. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men, Luke was with them, okay? You got Paul and Silas and Luke. I don't know where Luke was when all the jailing and beating was going on. I don't know if he was in the middle of it or if he was just kind of like, dude, they got them or what. But anyway, Luke's writing this. She said, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. One thing that we kind of flip past real quick in verse 19, and it said, and they drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. You know what that really means? It means they drug them. Most scholars say more than likely the way they drug them was they put a rope around their foot and drug them. by their feet, on their backs. The exact same Greek word is used a few chapters earlier where Paul is at Lystra and he gets stoned and they thought he was dead and they put a rope around his leg and they drug him out of the city, Joseph. If I have a cow dies, you know what I do? I hook a chain around its leg and I drag it back to a ditch somewhere and it is ungloriously, unceremoniously drug across a pasture, carcass flopping and hitting every gouge and stump and everything else, and gets dumped in a ditch. That's what they did Paul and Silas. They had just entered into Europe, and a wealthy merchant woman got saved in her whole household and got baptized. Woo! That's the way we like to do church, isn't it? Then you get this demon-possessed girl starts following around, and this demon's declaring these are men of the Most High God. It's a very interesting story. Follows around for days. Paul finally said, "Dude, I have had enough." He turns around and he says, "In the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of her." And so what does the demon do? He gets out of her. You know why? The demon was what? Under his feet. Because he was the Spirit-filled Son of the Most High God. So he said, "Leave." It left. The masters of this girl of divination saw that the hope of their rewards, their gains was gone. So you know what? They lost their profit. And so you know what they did? They said, "Man, this ain't happening." So they get Paul and Silas. They capture them. They get them by their feet. They drag them down to the public setting. Get the mob stirred up. Get the magistrates stirred up. They get and they put them on the stocks and they start whipping them and they put lashes all over their back. That's the way we want to do church, right, guys? Throughout the Word, it talks about persecution. Yet the church today wants to be absent of persecution. You know why we're powerless as a church? Because we don't want to walk through anything. We want to walk through the good stuff, and we want to go down to the river at Thyatira, and we want to lead this woman to the Lord, and we want to baptize her and sing how great and glorious it is, but we don't want to go through any persecution. We don't want to walk through any junk. We don't want to walk through any heartache. We don't want to walk through any discouragement. We don't want to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We don't want to endure things. Throughout the Word, He talks about, you're going to be persecuted for My name. We want the good, glorious stuff, but we don't want the persecuted stuff. We don't like it when the world don't. We get offended when everybody don't want to go where we want to go. We get mad at God when everybody doesn't walk through something that He said we're going to have to go through that's like the eye of the needle. He says, "Narrow is the way and straight is the gate." Maybe backwards. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate. You get my gist. "And few there be that find it." And then we get tore up going, "God, where's everybody at? I thought everybody's going to just latch on to me and walk through this thing with me." Sometimes you're going to go through a lonely journey. And there are going to be a few that will latch on to you, and they'll say yes to what you're saying yes to. That's part of the gospel, Brett. There are times I get up here and I preach my guts out, and it's like people don't even care. And I can't get offended with God, and I can't get offended with people. I just have to say, "You know what, Lord? I'm walking this journey out, and I got my eye on the prize, and I'm going to say yes to You." And the only way that we will do this if we have a lifestyle of walking through stuff. As this story goes on, I'm going to go ahead and read it here just a second. As this story goes on, we're going to say who's got the real power and the real authority in this story. And it's not the guys that are in the depth of the jail in stocks with open bleeding wounds on their back. That's the ones that's got the real authority. It's not the ones that put them there. I think I said that backwards. That's the ones with real authority. And we're going to see that in just a second. But you know why Apostle Paul was able to walk this thing out? It says, let me read this scripture right here. Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." Not only did they beat them and put them in jail, but they put them into the dungeon pit part of it. And they put their feet in stocks. "Dude, you're locked up in that. You ain't going nowhere." And they put them in stocks anyway. How uncomfortable would that be? But verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Verse 26, and so did heaven, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. What makes a man uncommon where he can do something like this? I'll tell you what makes him uncommon where he can do something like this. Two chapters earlier, when he was at Lystra, you know what they did, T.W.? Same thing. They raised up against him and all that, but this time instead of putting a whip on their back, they stoned him. They stoned him to the point of death where they thought he was dead, and so they hooked a rope around his feet. Like we were just talking about that Greek word, they drew him out of the city. They drug him out of the city and dumped him out on the trash heap because they were sure they had killed him with stones. But he wasn't dead. And he came to. And what he did? He strengthened himself in the Lord. And he reunited with the other apostles. He reunited with other believers. And he started preaching the gospel again. And he goes to the next city and he starts preaching the gospel. And so he comes in here in this situation in Philippi. And I'm supposing right here, but he's in this situation in Philippi. And they are putting whips, lashes across his back. And he's sitting over here and he's looking over at Silas. And he says, Silas, this ain't bad. He said, the last time it was rocks. This whip ain't bad. Last time it was boulders this big. This ain't bad. I'm bleeding, but I'm in stocks in this. Last time they drug me out of the city and threw me on the trash heap because they thought I was dead. But when I walked through that and I put my soles of the feet to the ground, all of a sudden I possess that. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I can walk through these things by the Spirit of my God. I lied to you. I told you I was going to teach. I'm a little preachy this morning. But that's it. I can see him sitting there, man, and they're wearing his back out. And in his mind, I don't know if he turned around and jawed it, but in his mind, I think he's sitting there saying, is that all y'all got? You just tickled that broke rib I got 3 months ago. So they put him down in stocks down there, and all of a sudden at midnight, him and Silas start praying and singing, worship, praising God. And he's like, this is so much better than it was last time. How can a man do that? When he goes through a stone and he says, I survived that, I can do this. If I can make it through that, I can make it through anything. If I can make it through the temptation of falling in despair, then I can make it through the temptation of lust. Come on. If I can overcome the pull of potential drug addiction, then this thing, nothing. Why do y'all think the Apostle Paul listed later on in his epistles, why do you think was he bragging? Because he came in and he said, dude, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been bitten by a poisonous snake and shook it off in the fire. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. I've done this and this, and he lists all of this stuff. And he's not sitting here bragging and saying, I'm super Christian. You know what he's sitting here saying, doing? He said, I walk through it, and it's under my feet. And if I walk through it and it's under my feet, then it's going to be under your feet also. Because you know who he was speaking to? He was speaking to a generation that Nero was going to be burning at the stake. He was speaking to a generation that the Roman government was going to persecute in a tremendous way. He was speaking to a group of people that the disciples, the apostles, were going to get killed in India. They were going to get crucified upside down. And all of this stuff was going to happen to them. And he says, guys, we are victorious over this stuff. And if we're victorious over this stuff, it's but a small thing. 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 And when we walk through stuff, the thing that the world says is so hard and the thing that the nominal Christian will cause to disrupt their faith and get them out of church and get them out of their relationship with God and cause them to last 3 years. They look at that and they say, man, ain't nothing. I was out here baling hay last Thursday, and thankfully the Lord, Shane said, man, I was praying that God just let you get that stuff baled. I didn't get it hauled, but I got it all baled so it wouldn't spoil. And I was sitting out there, and some people said, well, that's hard work. And I said, no, it ain't hard work. Hauling 3,000 square bales is hard work, isn't it, Scott? That's work, ain't it, Leroy? That ain't nothing. But because I haul 3,000 square bales a summer with Scott and some other buddies, because I did that, then that hard work's under my feet. And I got dominion over it, and I've got authority over it. So, Lori says, when my mom, my 82-year-old mom, Granny Garner, shows up, she's like, oh, man, I'm in for a long day of work. She does. Ask her. She'll tell you that statement. She said, Granny Garner's on the scene. She's going to work me to death. You know why Granny Garner can work her to death? Because it's under her feet. She's got dominion. She's got authority. She said, this is all I knew. I grew up doing this. She said, yes, sir. Uh-huh. They walked it out in the... Why, my daddy could have it under his feet, and stuff didn't bother him and all that stuff, you know. I ain't crying or singing no bad song or nothing like that, but, you know, I didn't have air conditioner until I got married. Now, I'm not even talking a window unit. There was a box fan in the window, and that was it. But you know why that never bothered my daddy? Because he grew up a sharecropper in the Depression. Born right slap in the middle of it, and he grew up picking cotton and stuff like that. That no lie. Probably why he joined the Navy when he was 18. Said, man, I've had enough of this. 17. But my point is he walked through that stuff and so it was under his feet. I want to bless them, but I don't want them to have to circumvent stuff that's going to help them in authority. And sometimes, guys, listen to me. Sometimes I think we set up people for failure in the church and in life because we want to make it so on a silver platter. Here it is, guys. And the reality is, Amanda, if you don't walk through anything spiritually, if Brother Sid's the one that's walking through stuff spiritually, or if Nick's walking through stuff spiritually, or Lisa's walking through stuff spiritually, you're not going to get anything under your feet. It's only when you walk through stuff that you get it under your feet. That's when you become a woman of authority. That's when you become a woman of dominion over this in your life. I love a statement that I've heard many women make. I've heard my wife make this many times. And I love it. I applaud this statement. And that statement is, if I can birth two babies without no epidural, this ain't nothing. Right? If I can birth two babies without no epidural, this ain't nothing. And what she's saying is that experience and that pain and having all of that stuff, it's under her feet. And so she said, I got dominion on this. If I can walk through this, joy comes in the morning. Pain endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, somebody. Y'all see what I'm saying? So when you're going through some junk, you're just getting some authority. Keep walking. Keep strengthening yourself in the Lord. Keeping your encouraging yourself in Him. Because I promise you, when you get through this, and it loops back around next time, and that demon comes back to you the next time, say, yeah, I've seen you before, and I whipped you last year. That's when you get, not only do you get in their head, but you've got authority over them. I've seen you. And you were under my feet last year because I walked through it. And it was hard and it hurt, but I survived. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk through you again this because you're under my feet. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, Damon, get out of her. Get out of her because it was under his feet. That's why death's nothing for Jesus. It's under his feet. That's why death's nothing for a believer. It's under our feet. That's why all of these giants and all of these mountains. Finishing this story up in Acts. I think most of you guys know the story. Finishing this story up in Acts. Everybody got saved. None of the prisoners left. A giant earthquake came because they were praying. Not only did the prisoners hear them, but heaven heard them, and an earthquake came, and all the jail doors and all that stuff came off their hinges and everything. The guard that was in charge, he was about to kill himself. Paul said, "Don't kill yourself, we're all here." So he came and fell at their feet. They led him to Jesus. He got saved. Him and his whole household, they got baptized. He wound up ministering to the Apostle Paul and Silas. Wound up ministering to them. Then the magistrates, after all this happened, the people that put them in prison, they sent word and said, "Hey, tell them we dropped all the charges. They can leave." Oh, man, I love the Apostle Paul right here. You know what he says? He said, "You tell them to come tell us themselves. They've wrongly accused us. And they've openly beaten us, and here's the trump card, as Roman citizens. So you tell them to come down here and they can escort us out the city and give us some parting gifts if they want to on the way." So you know what they did? Said when they found out they were Roman citizens, they said they feared greatly. And so the ones that had authority, all of a sudden, who was in authority? Paul and Silas and Luke. They were the ones in authority. Because you've got these magistrates coming and groveling at them and saying, "Please don't carry us to Rome. Because you don't openly beat Roman citizens. You don't privately beat Roman citizens without a just trial." So they were fearful of a higher authority. They were fearful of a higher authority. And so all of a sudden everything got turned upside down. This is an upside down story right here. The prisoners are the ones with the real authority. And you think you're going through the junk, through the gutter, through the bad stuff, and that everything, all circumstances have the upper hand on you. It's an upside down thing. Listen to me, it's an upside down thing. Because when you walk through this thing, you come out on the other side, and then it's flipped, and you're the one with authority, and now it's under your feet, and it always will be. Because you'd be like, "Man, I whipped that dude." Do you ever have anybody that messed with you in school and you got in a fight and you whipped that tail for them? They probably didn't mess with you again, did they? Under the feet. It's authority. It's authority. It's dominion. It's victory. We just got to put our foot to it and walk it out. Put our foot to it and walk it out. Whatever comes next, put your foot to it and walk it out. I'll close with this. Linda, if you'll come on up and just get on the piano. Maybe we need to pray together some. Y'all stand to your feet. I'll close with this. I've got some spiritual heroes in the faith that are huge in my life, and some of these men have literally saved my life out of nominal Christianity. But one of my earthly heroes, in a physical sense, not that he was a spiritual hero as well, as my father. And I guess one of the greatest attributes that I can say about my father, other than his love for God, his love for family, I remember when, so dedicated to the house. I remember when we were kids, he worked at Lockheed and he got us tickets to the Falcons game. Brett, and y'all know, you know, it's typically not like it is now. They don't play all these times. Used to, it was 1 o'clock on Sunday. I was so excited as a kid, man. We had tickets to go see the Falcons and all that. Well, we couldn't leave till after church. And so, you know, I got there about the third quarter. You know, that was just his commitment level for the house. And I love that. I love that. We need more of that. Commitment to the kingdom. Commitment to each other. Commitment to the house. Commitment to causes and all of this stuff. But one thing that made my dad a hero to me is that he faced and dealt with just about, from a physical standpoint, forget the dirt poor upbringing and all of that stuff, and a self-made man. He was a self-made man with God. But this cat had so many physical issues. And it's like every 2 years would be something new. Prostate cancer. Gallbladder removed. 3 different occasions of open heart surgery. They said, we can't do any more bypass surgery. There's nowhere to put a bypass to. It's kind of like a road. We can't put any more exits there. Had 19 stents put in. 19 stents on top of 3 different triple bypass open heart surgeries. He had diabetes. He had macular degeneration in his eyesight so that the last several years of his life he couldn't drive. And when he read the Bible, he had to read it with a magnifying glass. But everything that he was faced with, he walked through it with faith and courage and dignity and honor. And everything that he was faced with and everything that he walked through, you know where it ultimately wound up? Under his feet. It wound up under his feet. And he had dominion and he had authority over every bit of it. And he'd have to go to the hospital and he'd say, I wonder who I'm going to get to minister to this trip. And he would witness to doctors and nurses and pray with them and led some of them to the Lord. And everything, you say, boy, that's hard. I mean, you know, man, you about fill in the blank what he had. And he had it. Kidney stones every other year on top of that. He had it all. But every bit of it wound up under his feet, Clay, because you know what he kept doing? He kept walking through it. This journey of faith. It did not slow down. It was a journey of faith. And it was a journey of hope. And it was a journey of trust. And a journey of confidence. And this is my God. And this is who I am. And every bit of it wound up under his feet. And I want to encourage you today and I want to challenge you today to put your foot forward and walk through it, guys. I don't know what you're facing today, Robin, but walk through it, whatever it is. Get it under your feet. But if your soul does not touch it, it will never come under your authority. If you want to circumvent it and say, I don't want to go through that, I want to deal with that, you might not have to deal with it now, but one day you will. And if you keep skirting it, you know who will have to wind up dealing with it instead of you? Haven and Hunter. So the best thing I can tell you to do is keep walking. Put your soul to it. Because he says, everything that the sole of your foot touches, I've given to you. Sickness is under you. Death is under you. Fear is under you. Depression is under you. It is all under you. As long as you put your foot toward it. As long as you step. And you say, this journey of faith, I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on it. Here's the altar call. If you have not been putting your soul to things. S-O-L-E. If you've not been putting your soul to things. Let that stop today and let it start. Let it begin. You start walking forward. In this journey, if you have parked it or put it in neutral, if you've made a detour, if you think this thing you're going through is so hard and it's so tough and I don't know if I can endure this, if you will walk through this thing and hold up this, I promise you the next thing that you come to will be but a small thing. The lashes seem small when the stones are endured. The lashes are small when the stones are endured. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. If you've not yet started this journey of faith, come down and let me pray with you. Today's your day. Today's your day. If you're a Christian and you're just floundering around and you're non-directional, today's your day. Today's your day. So I'm going to ask you to move if you need to move in any capacity. If you're drawing in any way, I ask you to move. Go on, come on now. Come on now. Come on down. Come on down. I don't know where you're at. You may be going through some junk. Pray for endurance. Say, God, I need strength. God, I need wisdom. God, I need endurance. God, I need hope. I'm not saying you got it all together. I'm simply saying you're hanging on to Him and you're walking through this. And He's saying, come on, we can do this together. We can do this together. So if you need to move, just move. Father God, I come to you and I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your yes and your amen. Lord, I pray that you strengthen these people and encourage these people. Help us to walk this journey of faith so that these things are under our feet. Everything that our soul touches, Father, is our inheritance. And let us walk this out. God, I pray you stir and move like only you can. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.